Hello and welcome to the Noisecast. It's a weekly podcast. Talk about tech news, gadgets, gizmos, internet stuff. And then we also have a WTF news section with its own intro song. So we're fancy, high class. I guess before we get started, I'll go ahead and mention that we have a Facebook page where you should like us. We're slowly reaching 200 likes. We also have a Twitter account and a Google Plus page. If you just search the Noisecast on any of those three social networks, you'll find us. And you can catch all of our updates for the articles that we post on the Noisecast.com. They're published. Almost all of them are published across the three of those. So, go ahead and do that. And if you want to check in live with us, you can go to thenoisecast.com/live whenever we put out across one of those social networks a notice that we're about to go live. Every Sunday night, starting roughly around 7 Central, we interact with the users. They tell us we're wrong. We tell them to shut up. It's a lot of fun. This is episode 60. We've been doing this for a while, but we have, you know, no way of showing it.
Not improved.
Yeah.
Yeah, just listening to Chris's intro proves that.
Thanks.
At least Steven was consistent.
I like to mix it up. Anyway.
Well, where's the part you mix it up, being good Ben. At your job?
With us tonight, we have Ben.
Hello.
Oh, now you're not going to talk.
No. I just want to fuck up your game.
I don't have any game.
Roll with the punches, fool.
Fool. All right. We also have Ray.
I don't really have any witty banter.
At least it wasn't just hello. And then we have Vito.
Professionally unprofessional. Forever.
Forever with a voice crack. That was nice. So, we have quite a range of topics and a long list of topics to cover. Let's start out with the quick and easy stuff. That way we can rant about all the big stuff later.
I don't see your mom on the topic list.
Oh.
Heyo!
Bazinga!
Wow, somebody echoed Ray's heyo. That was kind
of. He was just so loud and into it that it echoed across the universe.
You just heard it all the way from Alabama.
Arkansas to Alabama. Yeah, that's kind of sad. It had to cross Mississippi.
He's got them super full ginger lungs. You seen the guy? He's like a fucking bear.
You know what? I rode in one of the Camaros today.
One of the what?
I rode in one of the new Camaros.
Top down or?
No. It had a roof. And not for me.
Yeah. I'd like to see you get the Miata.
You're bigger than I am, and I don't fit comfortably in those things.
You know what you were missing? A keg of moonshine in the back. You would have felt right at home.
I don't even think you might fit a pony keg in the back.
A couple pony kegs of Newcastle, or the Heineken
kegs. We were sitting at a stoplight, and my head was touching the roof, and I couldn't see what colors the light were.
Well, there are three colors. I can tell you that, and they change. And I've been through Arkansas. It's not that different.
And one of them means go, but we're not sure which.
Just use the reflection off the hood of the car, man. Come on.
Just go with the flow of traffic. Other people are stopping. Maybe you should too.
Oh, he's honking. I better go. All right. Anyway, let's start out here. Apparently, DARPA is funding these Defense Advanced Research something or other. They fund a lot of cool projects. But they have decided that launching or dropping tiny $50 spy computers into your office is really cool. So they built these little $50 things. A student, security researcher, rather, Brendan O'Connor, is basically made these little $50 computers called the F-bomb, which stands
Fuck.
For... it stands for falling or ballistically launched object that makes back doors. This is... One of the worst acronyms to translations I've ever seen.
That's a backronym.
Yeah.
I think they just wanted to call it an F-bomb and decided to work around it.
Yeah.
They took the NASA approach.
Yeah.
I'm explaining for the people who don't know.
Carry on. Very nice. Shut up, Ben. Apparently, there is a 3.5 by 4 by 1 inch little case that it comes in. It's works with all sorts of basically commercially available off the shelf stuff. A few little antenna, 8 gigabits of flash memory, a 3D printed plastic casing. I guess that's important because you can't buy those at Radio Shack for $10. It gets dropped by a drone or launched from a little tiny model rocket, I guess. I don't know. And then someone picks it up, plugs it into a wall socket, and tosses it, you know, wherever it needs to be to pick up signals and then send them back.
And if you drop one before 10 p.m., the FCC fines you.
I don't think it's for use in the States. I think they have enough ways of getting into our communications here. This is use overseas. Anyway, that was kind of cool. Nifty. No one else cared.
That sounds pretty cool, but...
What are you going to do with it? You can't, like, just shoot it in and then... It works. You have to actually get in there and do something with it.
Yeah. I think they just wanted to make it small and undetectable. I think the whole ballistically launched or drop thing is just to make it sound cool, just so they could have the F-bomb.
Yeah.
Thing. Move on to our next piece of trash news. apparently, there's a
so we're
company...
not talking about the F-bomb anymore?
There's a company on Amazon that likes to send letters out to their customers after they, you know, have received their product. Basically, the letter says, if you give us a 5-star review and let us know that you've done it, we will refund the price of your purchase, and you get to keep the item.
So, isn't that just called marketing?
That doesn't seem shady at all.
Yeah. It's called bribery.
Sounds like an awesome way to make money. Or get free things.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to give me shit for free for being like, hey. I'll endorse whatever the fuck they want.
I want to know what company this is, so I make sure to only order from them from now on.
it is VIP Deals. If you follow the link.
And actually, no, I was lying. This makes me not want to buy anything from these people. Because, I mean, when you buy stuff online, the only... unless you know somebody that owns it, the only way you have to tell whether it's a good product or not is the reviews from the people that have purchased it before you.
Yeah.
And this is completely circumventing that. And the only kind of company that would do something like this is a company that knows that their product is subpar to begin with.
Or they're just trying to get to the top of the marketplace.
Even still, if you're putting out a good product, you're going to end up at the top of the marketplace regardless. You shouldn't have to pay people off to give you good reviews.
Well, of course not. I mean, it's
well known.
They were
just selling like a Kindle cover. It wasn't like something fucking mind-blowing.
You know, I see kind of both sides of the issue here. Like, it is a pretty shady thing to do. What it says on the surface is their products aren't very good, so they're basically bribing people into lying. But on the other hand, kind of like what Chris was saying, I have done business with some people like on eBay or other sites where they say, you know, if you rate us, they don't necessarily rate us 5 stars. They just say, if you rate us, we'll give you like a coupon for next time just to encourage you to actually leave feedback. Because I know a lot of times I just forget and I don't do it. And I know a lot of people are the same way. So
yeah, but that's a little different, though.
No, I mean, I know. And I don't agree with it. I'm more on your side here, just kind of playing devil's advocate. Showing the other side of the coin, so it's not such a knee-jerk reaction.
Well, I guess to be, you know, honest, it doesn't say we would like you to rate it 5 stars. It just says if you give them a review, they will refund your product, the price of your product, and they just ask that you rate it 5 stars because they want to earn a perfect score. But it's still, it obviously, you know, circumvents or completely breaks some law of, you know, being a salesperson or a store on Amazon. I doubt that this is legal. Although there's tons of other ways that people circumvent review systems. You have to be real careful which reviews you trust anywhere.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's pretty easy to sniff out the obviously fake reviews. Because they're just like, yeah, this is great, works perfect. Yeah, whatever. You didn't go into very much detail.
People don't really put a whole lot of effort. They're like, oh, I can get a refund. Let me just bang out a few words here. This is cool. 5 stars, bam, free money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Apparently, like really,
whenever I read reviews, most 5-star and 1-star reviews, I kind of gloss over. It's all like the kind of 2, 3, and 4 stars that I'll pay most attention to because it's more likely they have thought about it a little more in depth.
Well, a lot of the 1-star reviews I've noticed are, well, this is just coming from the Amazon App Store review process because I've noticed that there are a lot of people that'll run through and do 1-stars. Those are people that are like, it doesn't work on my phone. Well, okay, then you can't fucking rate it 1-star. You don't know how it works. That's just a limitation of your phone. Like I won't rate products as being bad because they don't work on my phone, just because there's a lot of stuff that doesn't work on my phone yet. If something doesn't work, I'm not going to go through and say, oh, this doesn't work on my software, so fuck you, you get 1-star. That's kind of a stupid way to rate.
Yeah.
And yeah, likewise, people that rate something 5 stars, like when there's stuff on Amazon right now for games and movies and Blu-rays and shit that haven't even released yet that have 4- and 5-star reviews. Like, how does that even happen? The shit hasn't even dropped yet.
The trailer looks cool.
Months. What are you doing? Yeah. So, I mean, stuff like that, yeah, you're right. It's pretty obvious. And that's why, like you said, I put a lot more stock in the 3- and 4-star reviews because those tend to be people that have used the product for a considerable amount of time. They've gone through and they find the stuff that they like about it. There's always going to be something about every product that irks the shit out of you. It will always be there, and it might take you a week or 2 weeks of owning it before you find it, because you have to get through that whole new product blissful state. But once you get through and you find it, then and only then can you write a good, helpful review that will really tell your true feelings about whatever you purchased.
I completely agree with you, except yes. that most
Am
of the
I talking
people
too
that,
much?
That no. Most of the people that write reviews don't earn. They don't think about it this much. They're not as thoughtful. They're like, I have
right.
a product.
Right.
You know, they're either going to remember the things that they absolutely love, which, like you said, they're going to write it in the first couple of weeks of ownership, or they're going to find something they absolutely hate about it, and it'll be the whole Louis C.K. thing. You know, everything's amazing and no one's happy.
Yep.
You know what I hate?
That's why
is
whenever
when...
I...
No, continue, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, whenever I write reviews, that's why it tends to take me a little bit longer than a lot of other people might take, because I like to really put something through its paces. I like to get through and find all the little intricacies and try and break it, not physically, like software-wise. I'll look for those things that irritate me, and I'll look for the things that I really enjoy, and I'll dig through it, and I try and get the full experience before I write the review, and I think it makes for a better review. I write the way I would want to read a review.
Yeah.
I wish that more people would do that.
And you can tell when you read through it which ones are complete bull. Like, usually, especially on Newegg and TigerDirect and sites like that, like, I just got this laptop and it works great. Or my favorite, I just got this laptop and it doesn't turn on.
Yeah, it's really, like Ben was saying, it's the stuff that's in the middle and the stuff that looks kind of thought out and it's not just like one line.
Now, that's one of the reasons I really like Newegg's review system, is so you can't, I mean, you can, there's pros and cons and, you know, how long have you owned the product, stuff like that.
Yeah, are you a verified owner? Like, that really carries some weight with me.
Yeah.
I won't write reviews on Newegg unless I actually bought it from Newegg. And Ben, because everybody keeps cutting you off, I'm tagging you in, bro.
All right, thanks. I was going to say something I hate, but I also think it's kind of hilarious, is when people leave 1-star reviews for issues that have nothing to do with the product itself. They're like, the UPS delivery man used my bathroom and didn't flush. 1-star. Oh, but it works really good. But fuck the UPS guy.
That sounds like a pretty great review.
I would request a different shipping.
Yeah, or I mean, more realistically, it's
like I
dropped
it in the screen.
Oh, FedEx
dropped
it. Yeah, or they never take responsibility. Those like, oh, FedEx threw it on the porch and it broke. 1-star. Well, that's FedEx's fault. You're not reviewing FedEx. You're reviewing the product.
Yeah. Well, like I said, most people don't put their thought into things the way that some of us do.
Exactly. And
most of us do.
And
stupid
it's
people tend to be louder.
Yeah, but at least there are people like Vito, and I'm sure like all of us, that will do those in-depth reviews that will help more in the long run. Because I think most people do kind of mentally filter the obviously stupid ones.
So, there's an article floating around on the internet. If you're listening, you should Google it. I don't have it at my fingertips. Basically, how to tell fake reviews in like 5 steps or something like that. I know it's on Reddit right now, but it's a good read.
Are they saying like fake reviews, like those people that?
It's things to look for when you consider whether a review is real or not.
Okay, like somebody who's been paid off just to say.
Yeah, exactly. Because they mentioned that article on Engadget, I believe, for the Amazon thing that people know that you can pay someone behind, you know, under the table, like the whole ocean, deep ocean sea, whatever the hell that idiot that did the whole PR stunt.
Oh, the website and the internet guy.
Yeah. He, like, one of the things that they mentioned he offered to do was to get reviews, like positive reviews on the, you know, on their products. It's just something that PR companies do. Make 1 million accounts, use proxies to log in from different places around the world to, you know. So,
yeah. And, you know, I honestly don't really have a problem with paying people to do reviews. Because that's kind of the whole point of a secret shopper program. But the thing is, you can't be being paid by the company that's making the thing you're being reviewed for. It has to be kind of an independent.
I think Amazon should pay, you know, should give you discounts for products, you know, so anything that's, you know, applicable for or that you can use Amazon Prime on. If you write a well thought out review, you know, it's got to be a certain length. You know, it's got to be liked. Once it's found useful by at least, you know, 3 or 4 people, they give you a 10% off coupon or a 5% off coupon. Just something small. It's not really going to hurt their overhead, but it's going to get a lot more reviews done.
Yeah, the website Deal Extreme does that. If you don't know, it's like a Hong Kong-based company that sells all sort of little electronic tchotchkes and stuff. They have a review system where you earn points by uploading pictures, writing reviews, answering questions, and you'll rack up points and you can exchange that for, you know, free stuff down the line. And so it really motivates you to get in there and review the stuff you bought, good or bad.
Yeah. Cool. Right, we spent way more time on that than I expected. Not necessarily a bad thing, but we've got a couple big hot button items I want to cover. Last little topic, however, is graphene. It's this ridiculous new compound, basically a single layer of carbon atoms. It sounds kind of boring, but it has ridiculous, awesome properties to it. It enables CPUs that can operate at up to 300 gigahertz, batteries that last 10 times longer, all sorts of ridiculous network speeds, the ones they list here, petabit and exabit, and also creates electricity when it is struck by light.
A thing in your thing, et cetera, et cetera.
A thing in my thing? I think that's on RWTF, bro.
Docking.
Oh, shut, dude. Don't Google that. Nobody Google that. Anyway, another thing that they found that it's not just cool for electronics and creating electricity when struck by light. Apparently, it's a perfect water filter. It can hold in any molecule except for water vapor. So kind of a random little side note, but the stuff is a big discovery. I remember back in March or something, I remember hearing a lot about it, how kick-ass it was at basically doing everything. But
so if this, you know, comes into general use, if you spill water on your computer, that'll suck. But on the bright side, you'll have some really clean water to drink afterwards.
Actually, you know, if it removes all the impurities from the water doesn't conduct electricity. So you're still safe.
That's a good point. And, you know, this is something I've always wondered. maybe I'm stupid for not knowing, but if somebody who actually knows things about things could tell us, if you submerge a device in perfectly distilled water, would it should still be fine, right? Because it's not conducting any electricity.
If it's just water, if it's pure water, yes, I believe pure water is completely resistive. It has no conductive properties.
Yeah, it's all the other junk in the water.
Yeah, but whatever you're putting in there is bound to have impurities in it, so...
Well, let's say you sterilize your cell phone first and then dropped it into distilled water.
Yeah, in theory, yes, if we're going to go all perfect world, but...
Theoretically, yes.
All right, cool. That's what I thought. But if anyone actually does know more about it and they can explain, you know, email us or post it on our Facebook.
Yeah, I need to point something out. Apparently, Enos One decided to Google docking. And he's crying right now.
Wait. So when I say don't Google docking, as in Google Docs that we use for the topic list,
or shut up, man.
Google the term docking.
When we say don't Google something, don't Google it.
Look, I've seen it. You don't have to.
Yeah. One more thing I wanted to mention about graphene is that because it's such a perfect water filter, it only allows water through. You can basically distill liquor out of beer.
Ooh.
You know, you pour alcohol into it, and it only allows the water through this filter. So all the alcohol is kept on the other side.
What if you pissed on it? Could you then drink it afterwards?
Sure, Bear. Do what you want, bro.
Bear girls would be proud.
That's what I, no, really, that's why that, I call that, them Bear.
I'm actually curious about that. If you pissed on it, because, I mean, I know you can technically drink your own urine as Bear Grylls, whatever, shows us, but would it make clean water if you peed on
it?
You can filter it through stuff.
There are products out there for, I mean, obviously look at the space station,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't see it on the article. I just kind of skimmed it real quick. This graphene, is there anything really prohibitive about using it? Like, is it crazy super expensive?
I think, or... at the moment it doesn't say.
It's less expensive than the stuff that we talked about before. Because this isn't actual graphene. This is what they're calling graphene oxide. So it's less cost prohibitive to produce, because instead of only lining up in layers the way in single atom layers the way graphene does, what graphene oxide does is it'll line up in that layer, and then once it does that, it likes to stack up on itself. So it basically makes the filter on its own without having to be stacked over and over again manually.
So this stuff is apparently cheaper and easier to play with. But I believe the actual graphene was the thing that gives all the awesome electric properties. Graphene oxide is just good for making super booze.
Well, neato. Hopefully we see it, you know, start getting used in the near future.
We all need super booze.
Damn right we do.
Yeah. All right. So, I guess I'll snag this little topic right here. The Pentagon apparently doesn't know what the hell it wants to do with missiles. They have an issue that when they launch cruise missiles, or non-nuclear, as it says in the topic list, non-nuclear missiles, they fly the same as nuclear missiles. So, if you're sitting at a radar station in Russia and you see this trajectory of a missile come up, you're like, I don't know if that's a nuke or if it's just a cruise missile that's out on a tactical strike on a terrorist compound. Apparently,
is it going to kill some of us or all of us?
Yeah, more or less. So the U.S. government's been trying to figure out a way to put bat wings on its missiles to launch.
No, 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 bat wings.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. I started thinking about how ridiculous this would look, like if a missile went up in the air and then started flying in a zigzag pattern.
It's
right. Just like shucking and jiving across the continent. But then I realized that we have something now, in the artillery world that flies in a not so ballistic trajectory.
Yeah, it's called a boost glide. Is the path. It basically shoots up, wings pop out, and then it glides.
Yeah, that's the way the GPS guided rounds work. Once they get up in the air, fins come out in the front and the back of the shell, and it glides. And instead of being like a gentle glide, like you would imagine, say, a paper airplane, how it just kind of goes. Actually, no, like a baseball. Like, say you toss the baseball and it has that predictable arc.
It's a U-shaped trajectory.
Right. It would fly more like a paper airplane, where it glides a little bit and then it drops, and then as it picks up the air, it glides a little bit more and then it drops again. Then once it gets over where it needs to go, the GPS picks up and it zooms in exactly where it needs to go, and bang, right down on top of it. So nice. if that's what if that's what they're talking about doing with these, that would work, and it would definitely be noticeable to a radar operator.
Yeah, and well, that's the thing with this. They're trying to make a convention to where they just use these tactical strike missiles or rockets or whatever you want to call them, that foreign, they don't have to say, hey, tell everyone, hey, we're gonna bomb the crap out of this compound. All they have to do is launch one of these altered flight missiles, so the people tracking it aren't like that. Okay, that's non-nuclear, which doesn't matter because you could just throw a warhead on one of those, whatever. It's a different.
So this boost glide thing. So does it kind of work like the yellow Angry Bird?
Yes. No. Well, no, not really. It doesn't actually boost. It would be like imagine the model rocket. You shoot it straight up. Once it gets to the peak, where it would normally, it's the engines burn out, it's about to pop the parachute. Instead of that, it pops wings out, and like Vito was describing, it uses the air to carry it forward. It floats as opposed
to give it more lift. That's what wings do.
Gotcha.
Well, okay. not lift so much as it just slows the fall. And right. They call it a backwards L, which not really backwards, but up and then slow glide to the side.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. That's how the GPS guided systems work. They all have to be fired at high angle, which is basically higher than 45 degrees. Generally, when they get fired, they're shot at about an 85 degree angle, roughly.
So barely almost pointing,
almost straight up in the air. Yeah.
I bet that looks cool. We'll see those. Anyway, there's all sorts of problems with this. Apparently, this system for popping out bat wings doesn't really fit in typical submarine launch tubes or launch tubes that they have. And so they're having all sorts of problems with it. Apparently it failed the test. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of cool, so I threw it on the topic list.
It is pretty cool, and if they want to throw enough money at it, the technology exists for smaller artillery pieces, obviously, but for something like a intercontinental missile or something like that, it would have to be scaled up quite a bit. But I think it could be done. I mean, I've seen it work. The only problem is it's really expensive. Like, just one of the GPS guided rounds is something like $50,000-$60,000.
Yeah.
And that's only a single 100, I think it's like 115 pounds. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, could you explain to me again, though? I didn't quite understand. Why would you want non-nuclear and nuclear to fly differently?
Basically,
so they can tell the difference on radar. Or
but, whatever. I mean, if you're shooting it or your enemies, didn't you not want them to be able to tell the difference?
Well, the thing is they're discussing using these in tactical strikes and like terrorist camps, non-country entities. Where they're just kind of ragtag. They don't really have a full radar complement. And a lot of this actually isn't done by normal radar, because normal radar doesn't have the range to track a missile. I mean, if you imagine, it doesn't really go out that far. And by the time it sees a missile, these things go ridiculously fast. There's not a whole lot you can do. I mean, there's a whole bunch of separate technology that's used to track these satellites, stuff like that. And that's obviously reserved for larger countries. And they just want to make sure that if we launch a cruise missile with a non-nuclear payload, in somewhere into, say, Pakistan or something, that China and Russia aren't like, whoa, dude, nuke on the way.
You know, let's arm up. Let's start launching.
I get it. So it's basically a heads up to everyone else. Like, don't worry. We're not getting you. We're getting these guys.
Yeah. Just, you know, make a decision once it lands. Don't worry. Don't start launching yet, sort of thing.
Gotcha. All right. Makes sense.
All right. And let's move on to Facebook real fast. Apparently, Facebook is the only one, the only people that want to use their services to make money off of your info.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, no one else can use Facebook to make money off of your privacy. Only Facebook can make money off of your privacy, so.
Well, thank Zuckerberg for that, I guess.
Yeah, so he, Facebook, not he, Facebook is not a he, Facebook is an it. In the state of Washington, sued a company on Thursday that accused them of a practice called clickjacking. Basically, it fools you into liking their page or allowing that page access to your information on Facebook. And then it, you know, logs all that information. And then what they do is they sell that sort of thing. They make ad revenue on the site that it leads you to and all this other ridiculous stuff. The company, Ascend Media, grossed $1.2 million a month by doing this. So, and Zuckerberg's really mad. Yeah, Zuckerberg's really mad because he's like, stop stealing my ideas. I stole this idea. You can't steal it.
Basically like a pimp getting mad at another pimp for moving in on one of his girls.
Like you know anything about the sex trade, Ben?
No, unfortunately.
Yeah. Anyway, they're saying Facebook is worried because they don't really sell your information as much as use the crap out of it to sell ads. They're just, this legal action was basically they're saying it's the first time that any state government has gone to court over something like this, over Facebook-based spam. So Facebook is becoming the new sub-internet, similar to AOL was, and you're all going to get screwed by the spam.
Yeah, well, I mean, think of like the average internet user that you know and how much time they spend on Facebook. That's pretty much all they do online anymore. Like, I know my aunt. I'm pretty sure all she does is check her AOL mail, like you said, and go on Facebook. That's it.
Well, and you notice that so many, you can't read an article now on a website unless you like their Facebook page, which, I mean, most people are like, whatever, I just want to read it. It's just Facebook. It's nothing dangerous, and they like it, but and it may not actually do you any harm because you're just a boring person, but it's all it's going to do is get targeted ads on you.
Yeah.
But well, yeah, I remember.
I've noticed that. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I remember. I brought up this point a long time ago, and I was just repeating it from somebody that knew better than me. But basically, the real danger of Facebook in encroaching on your privacy isn't so much about you, because frankly, you're not important. What it is, though, is it sets like a bad precedent, and people who are important then become at risk because everyone else gave up their privacy, and now people that should have the privacy are kind of...
It's not even people that should have the privacy. It's just everyone in general. It should not be assumed that everyone just wants their stuff spread. Which, I'll just go ahead and... We have a lot of topics on the issues of privacy and the internet, so I'm going to kind of tie that into... it's called DontTrack.us. Don't Track Us. It's a website that basically tells you how Google tracks you. And this isn't just Google. Obviously, Facebook does a similar style of tracking. It's an infographic.
It's an advertisement for DuckDuckGo.
Well, yeah, but it's not just DuckDuckGo. If you look at the bottom, there are a bunch of different security suites or installation extensions for your browser, and they're different. There's AdBlock, there's NoScript, Disconnect, all these, and Tor. I mean, these are all separate companies. They're just basically saying, use one of these to keep your cookie tracking private, not to be used for ads.
Right. It has all that stuff at the bottom, but again, this is just a big advertisement for DuckDuckGo.
But okay, if you ignore the part at the top and the part at the bottom that say use DuckDuckGo, the rest of the information is still valid.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that it isn't good information. I just don't people thinking that DuckDuckGo is a good search engine, because I used it for a while. When these guys first started out, they posted a thing on Reddit talking about how bad it was that Google tracked all your stuff. And they were like, hey, we don't track any of your stuff. Use us for a week and we bet you'll love us. And I used them for 3 days and I couldn't fucking stand it. I mean, they're not exactly a terrible alternative.
It's just ridiculously impossible to try to compete with Google in
it is
what Google started out doing, and they still do really well.
Yes, but you're right. All of the stuff down at the bottom, the script blockers, the ad block stuff, the third party tracking blockers, all that stuff. Very good information. Everybody should check that stuff out.
Yeah, I've got a few of them installed.
Oh, and I love Disconnect. I have that on.
I've got Disconnect. I'm also, what is this?
I haven't used that. Enlighten me on what it does.
Basically, every connection, there's a couple of them at the bottom there that do the same thing. Disconnect and I think Abine or Albine is one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Abine. They do more or less the same thing. You go to a webpage and it says, it's got all the tie-ins for social networks. It's, all that random other crap. And at the bottom, the top bar of your browser, it pops up with something that says, this many trackers are active on this page. We blocked this many of them. Usually it says 16 out of 16 or however many out of however many. You click on that and it says, you have three social buttons that were tracking you, 5 ad networks that were tracking you, and 8 companies tracking you. Can click on any of those and see which ones they are. So, the 8 companies, the Microsoft Atlas, Quantcast, Comscore, Beacon, Google Analytics, AOL Advertising, stuff like that. And then the ad networks, you got Microsoft, Quantcast, Advertising.com sort of thing. And obviously...
Just really fast, I opened up the Wall Street Journal webpage.
Yeah.
I got 9 Google things blocked and 1 blocked from Facebook just from Disconnect. Disconnect will let you do is you can selectively say, hey, block Facebook, but don't block Google or whatever.
Yeah. And the same thing works with Abine. I have both of them installed. I just don't have Disconnect showing me what it's doing. So they work slightly differently. It's ridiculous how... Some of these are written really poorly. Some of the websites are. So you'll get if it's one of those pages that has a like button on every article, you'll get something 20 or 40 just for Facebook and Twitter. It's kind of ridiculous. Anyway, recommend everyone grab one of those off that. They're all listed at the bottom of that don'ttrack.us. Head on over there. Check it out. Here's another bit on Facebook. So we're picking on Facebook. They plan on going public with their IPO. And sources are saying that they are estimating their value at between 75 and 100 billion with a B dollars. Which is...
Seems a bit high.
That's a lot of money.
It's got 800 million members. So if we go off that math, and let's use 80 billion as a number in their range that fits, that's a lot of money per user that basically you'd be paying for, quote unquote. That's ridiculous.
That seems to me, though, it's like one of those stocks that's
buy
it just to sell it, I guess.
It's not like, Groupon was like that. Stocks. Groupon didn't do well. They just kind of went public, I think, because the guys who made it just wanted to...
They needed money.
Well, I think they just wanted money.
Well, okay.
They had money. Same they just difference. Wanted more. And then past a certain point, screw it, whatever. You can go down the drain. I'm already... I don't have to work again for the rest of my life. But... Facebook's not really going away, I don't think,
it's not going away, but it's not really... A service that would ever generate any kind of serious revenue.
Yeah. Well, you say that, but If you go to Facebook,
lot of money from stuff like advertisements and those goddamn Zynga games.
Well, yeah. Not even just that though. Have you guys seen? You go to the grocery store, Walmart, Target, whatever. You know the section where they sell all the like gift cards and online money stuff.
Yeah, they're Facebook gift cards.
They're Facebook dollars. Facebook dollars. And I have no fucking idea what they're for.
This is a whole new concept to me.
Yeah, I saw them
at a gas station in the middle of nowhere, Texas. They advertise them on the pumps.
Yeah, clearly someone is buying these things, and so there's money going into it. And I have no idea what you use these for. I guess maybe you can then use them in Zynga games on Facebook or something. I don't know.
No. Whenever there's like somebody has a birthday or an anniversary or whatever, you know how it'll say, "Say happy birthday to them by sending a present."
You basically
send them a little fucking icon on their page that says happy birthday.
And I'll just fucking send them a cool picture I found on Imgur.
Yeah.
And that's free. But yeah, that's...
We're all smarter than, obviously, a lot of these people. I mean...
Yeah, and it doesn't... That stuff isn't marketed to people like us. Because we know better. We're not going to piss our money away on stupid fucking Farmville bucks.
Basically, it's marketed to the same people who pay for ringtones.
Yeah. And here's...
Okay.
Here's a number, or here's a little fact that I think is interesting. If they actually get that $100 billion with a B dollars, you know, if that's what they end up filing, then that would be the same as McDonald's and about half of Google.
Bet you ain't McDonald's.
Well, I mean, you have the same target audience, stupid fat people.
We say as we all have a Facebook tab open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually have two. I don't know why.
I'm using Facebook to post the comments and topics. Right
sure.
now.
I'm actually using Facebook to make fun of somebody for my liking My Little Pony.
Well, that's a valid excuse. That is perfectly acceptable. Well, and that's the other thing. That's one of the reasons Facebook likes to put notifications out is because that brings up a new set of ads, and that's another page view, even though it's not unique. How many page views does the average person, like one of us, give Facebook? Especially those of us who are in the white noise.
I'm gonna open my history. Let me see. I know it's not going to be a perfect representation because anytime I visit the same page, it's only going to show once. But there's going to be a lot of Facebook. Let me see.
Mention that they don't completely load new pages now. It's all done within that sort of frame style.
Yeah.
You know, like if you click on white noise and it doesn't actually reload the whole page, a lot of times it'll just... So it's yes, good call, Narwhal.
Yeah, just within the past day, like obviously, you know, like you just got done saying, this isn't a scientific test, but just like in the past 24 hours, I have so many hits for Facebook in my history, it's ridiculous.
That's a very accurate scientific number. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, a lot.
Is it like 80, 100-ish?
I can keep scrolling down for a while, and it doesn't... Well,
scrolling down for a while, we've gotten more accurate.
Roughly 11-teen.
Okay. All right. So, anyway, I mean, they make a... Okay,
here, I just control A, 1703.
Damn!
But I don't think that's in one day. I think that's all my history, maybe the past week or something. I don't know.
Okay, so that was, again, useless numbers.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I get that.
The Noise Cast, where Ben gives us numbers that don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, whose line is it anyway? Points don't matter.
All right. So.
But to my credit, I'm using Adblock. And so I don't get ad impressions from them. Take that, Facebook.
There's a an extension for Chrome specifically. I'll find it. It's an ad, and is it Keep My Opt Outs is what it's called. It's actually made by Google, and it opts out of ad personalization via cookies. Of course, that's only for sites that follow their guidelines. But it's another one of those that you should probably check out if you're interested. Sure. Let's move on to piracy and censorship, since they seem to be going hand in hand these days. Apparently, Twitter is now doing what they call a micro-censorship, where they will censor certain tweets in certain countries based on the laws of that country and whether or not that country has someone who just made a large investment in the company. I say that because apparently...
What are you insinuating, sir?
Yeah, that a company that is for profit is doing things for more profit. I don't really care.
No, I thought you were. I thought you were insinuating that that because some country made a very large investment in Twitter, that they are now attempting to censor the bullshit that they don't want their people saying
or seeing, saying. I'm not insinuating anything bad about Twitter at all. All I know is that I can't find that specific article, but that was insinuated in an article that I read. Because there's been about 30 billion articles on this whole micro-censorship bullcrap that Twitter decided to do. Basically, it's saying that based on your country's laws, they now have the ability to censor certain tweets. I don't know how, because nobody uses proper English or... I mean, that's assuming
like
it's
this
English.
If you cry every time.
Yeah. More or less. Apparently, you know, the Middle East is where a lot of this is taking, like, shaping up to be annoying and bad. Because Twitter is one of those things that's been widely adopted over there for easy, quick, back-and-forth communications. It's easy for people to communicate without being directly censored. Since it's you can use HTTPS and all that fun stuff. But now that... they have this. It's easier for Egyptian people or Egyptian leadership to say, hey, we don't want anything with this tag because we believe that will lead to violence and give some sort of bullcrap excuse. And Twitter's like, okay, whatever. We'll censor the tag freedom.
In a word, bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll agree there.
Basically, they're taking what makes them most useful and getting rid of it. Maybe not necessarily getting rid of it completely, but really kneecapping it.
Yeah.
Because Twitter, frankly, is fucking useless most of the time. But sometimes it's useful. Now they're making it less useful.
Well, and that's the thing. Twitter was one of those things that a lot of people relied on for news updates and just seeing what was going on this summer during all the ridiculousness that happened in the Middle East. And now they've gone and allowed censorship. And it's confusing to me why they would do this. There's a proposed...
I think they just want more money and more investors.
Yeah, they're doing it for the same reason those people rated 5 stars and why our fucking congressmen are making ridiculous fucking laws. It's because somebody's paying them a shit ton of money to do so.
It's slightly different in that the congressmen are supposed to be representing the people, and Twitter, a for-profit company, can do whatever the hell they want for profit.
Well, yeah,
they just don't expect... It's not like you can... You know, moving out of the U.S. is not like a valid answer for, you know, my congressman pisses me off. They're there to represent you. You can stop
right.
using Twitter.
And I understand that. What my only point was, they're doing it for the same reasons. They're doing it for profit.
Yeah.
Whether or not the congressmen are supposed to be doing it for profit doesn't matter. That doesn't enter into this. They're doing it anyway.
On that article, I did find the mention of that investment that they recently made. McGillivray, whatever the hell the guy's name is, I suppose he's a spokesman.
That one.
Well, McGillivray.
That's what I mean. I'm not going to try it.
McGillivray. Sure, it works for me. Said the new policy has nothing to do with the recent $300 million investment by Saudi billionaire Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal Mak.
I'm just going out and call that. That's a load of horseshit.
You know what? Maybe that's actually
shit.
Like code. They're like, they're secretly saying that. It doesn't have anything to do with this guy that we're pointing out specifically. wink, wink.
I think in the line of questioning, somebody said, "Does this have anything to do with Prince, you know, Max?"
Prince Ali Awakba.
Yeah.
Prince Ali, Fabulous E.
Blah, blah, blah. Nice.
Yeah, no, I think it's one of those things that it's you're meant to read between the lines on it.
Yeah. No, I think it's still bullcrap.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty bullshit.
So, more on censorship. Apparently, you know, SOPA PIPA, they're sort of being shelved. ACTA is the next big thing that everyone's ranting about. They expect it to be fought tooth and nail, even though it's not really being fought. And then the next thing is the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, or TPPA, which you can't say TPPA. There's no nice acronym for that.
Well, maybe that's part of the strategy. For that?
Yeah. According to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, TPPA, or TPP, depending on what you want to call it, is a secretive multinational trade agreement that threatens to extend restrictive intellectual property laws across the globe. Basically, a large group of countries are saying, we will respect your copyright laws, and so if you sign this agreement, you can prosecute back and forth for whatever. It's copyright laws are no longer being, you know, restricted by international borders.
Remember that thing I said last week about how this is just going to keep coming up over and over and over and over again?
It is.
Exactly
and,
that.
And they're going to keep doing it.
Well, they're taking the shotgun approach. They're just going to throw everything they have at it and hope that the internet user will get tired and be like, okay.
Well, no, they're going to do the decoy approach. They're going to keep trying, you know, they're going to show a big thing up. People are going to get pissed off, and then they're going to sneak one under the table.
Well, the more bills like this they can throw at it, they just hope that one sticks.
Well, yeah, and because people are going to be bored and tired of hearing about it and blacking out their websites and writing their congressmen. It's seriously, people get tired of, especially Americans, get tired of caring. That's why they still...
Yeah, because it becomes such a hassle.
It's I don't think it's really considered out, a hassle if it's fighting for your freedom. That's not a hassle. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a responsibility, but...
It's a hassle for me.
Okay, then congratulations, American. You get to wear your Burger King crown today.
I ate a Burger King today.
Did you get a crown?
No.
You should have. Bull crap. They just won't give them the Ginger Giants.
Well, I can't help that. I don't write the policies.
Gumper is saying that we care a lot, and that we in that is what I'm arguing. There are a lot of people who care. There are more people who can't be bothered to wipe their own ass more than once, so...
Hey, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Especially after you have Burger King.
But
I saw more like after you have Taco Bell.
I saw something earlier today that made me giggle. It was a Pinky and the Brain cartoon, and Pinky said, "What are we gonna do tonight, Brain?" And Brain was saying, "The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to censor the internet." And that's exactly how I see the lawmakers. It's like fucking Pinky in the Brain. No matter how many times we do everything we can to try and strike it down and stop.
I'm
going to
say it's more like Pinky and Pinky. That's how I see it. I don't think there's much brain going on. But...
That was a really terrible joke.
No, I'm serious. Writers. Yeah. I don't see it as, I guess, the money.
I understand what you're saying, but... The analogy is that they keep trying even when they fail, and at first it was annoying, now it's just fucking pissing me off because they are showing blatantly that they don't give two fucks what their constituents think. If they did, they would have fucking put this shit to bed the first time.
Especially when you consider the Senate that gets elected every, you know, one third of them get cycled out every 6 years. That's a long time to forget. You know, when is the SOPA guy or the PIPA guy up for re-election? The guy who sponsored that bill. Is it this year?
Yep.
Well, he wasn't very smart then. They should have picked someone else. Anyway, the TPPA, basically what it does is it extends copyrights beyond U.S. borders to the co-signers of this agreement, and it can also extend the life of copyrights. So as opposed to, you know, old Beatles songs, the copyrights going out, them being sold to the highest bidder or whatever. stuff like that, it's not going to be as easy to get away with that crap anymore. What's next on the douchebag list? Let's see.
I don't know, but I'm very sad about living in the world right now.
Well, good.
We need something happy.
Yeah. The Dutch. Apparently, Dutch ISPs are refusing to block the Pirate Bay. Even though,
man.
Yeah, they're pretty much saying screw you. They were demanded by a Hollywood-backed group that they block access to the Pirate Bay, which, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know what kind of legal system or legislative system they have in place in the Netherlands, but it's kind of cool to see them, you know, take a stand.
Yeah, well, there you go. If that tells us that if everything goes tits up over here for the internet, we can all move to the Netherlands.
Well, the problem is the court ruled that they had to block access to the Pirate Bay. It basically, the court of the Hague decided that, hey, you have to do this. And apparently they're fighting it, but in the meantime, they're not blocking it.
Good for them.
Way to fight the good fight.
Yeah, you go, girl.
And it's not so much because, you know, oh, I want to keep pirating things and I want to break the law and, you know, blah, blah, et cetera. It's more just about the broader issue of censoring the internet.
Yeah. And speaking of people making dumb decisions, I'm sure most of you have heard by now, Ireland decided to pass their own SOPA-like initiative. And apparently it's going to go through without a vote. The Irish citizens won't have a chance to talk to their representatives because there won't be a vote on the law. It's going to be enacted.
What? How does that work?
It's basically going to be, it's not going to be a legislative piece. It's going to be more of a, like, say, an executive order.
Oh.
It's called a ministerial order here. But it's pretty much, you know, the people who make the laws aren't doing this so much as it's being ordered. So that's cool. You know, let's just make laws willy-nilly.
Willie Nelson?
Willy-nilly Nelson, yes. So anyway, moving on. Trying to fly through this since we're almost to WTF news. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we only have one left. Oh, I have two. Here's one. Google decided to do away with all their privacy policies for every individual product that they have, which is, you know, a ton. They have the Android Market, YouTube, Gmail, Google Stocks, Calendar, Maps, blah, 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 blah. And what they're doing is they're moving it all into a single privacy policy. They're getting rid of over 60 privacy policies and replacing them with one. So
what?
It's just kind of interesting to me that each different service no longer has specific things. I suppose it's easier to track the changes in it. You don't have to read through 80 lines of bullcrap for.
Did you ever read the last privacy code policies?
I got bored enough to do it, yeah. But most people, I know, nobody does.
Most people won't.
I don't give a shit. I know everything's, you know, up for viewing, and they can take whatever the hell they want, and what the hell am I going to do about it? I want to use their service.
Yeah. Apparently, there's no opt-outs also. Apparently, there used to be opt-outs for certain aspects of their policies. Well, I think Google finally said, you know what? If you don't want to use us, you're single, you know, like the 1% of people or 0.1% of people that don't like this privacy policy, if they really don't agree with it, then we're not going to give them the chance to opt out. We can do fine without your business.
Have fun on Bing.
Yeah, and that's exactly why they will probably get away with this. But,
yeah. Okay, just as a quick poll, you guys, how many Google services do you guys rely on?
Almost all of them. Like,
yeah, I use.
Hold on, let me pick up my Google phone.
Yeah, That's the only thing I don't have is a Google phone.
I mean, I use Google Talk a lot because everybody has their Google profile now, so you can use Google Talk to basically circumvent text messaging plans. I use
Google Talk is awesome.
It is. I use Google Plus for social and mostly Hangouts. I use the Gmail, and then I have the phone, so I use the Maps, GPS. I use a lot of Google stuff. I mean, there's a lot more. The search, obviously, there's a lot more that I don't use, but a very large portion of my life is definitely tied into Google and Google's services.
Yeah, like as far as things I rely on, not just use, because like I use Google Plus, but I wouldn't say I rely on it. I definitely rely on Gmail, Google Voice, and I guess search, and then to a lesser extent, Google Docs. But yeah, there's a lot of things with Google that I've
Does
built
YouTube
my.
Count?
Yes,
I guess.
No, it's included in one of the items that they.
Because you can't say that you don't use YouTube.
That's a good point.
You rely on it to watch funny videos.
Yeah, because I guess I could technically. I don't have to watch funny videos online,
yes,
but I
do
watch a lot of them.
Try to go a week without watching a YouTube video.
Yeah, good point.
I challenge you,
especially if you're on Reddit.
Yeah.
In fact, Google even made a YouTube video explaining the privacy policy. So,
I
don't know.
That's probably
what
I will watch and gather all my information about.
Exactly, and that's probably what they're hoping most people will do.
Now, do you have to agree to the privacy policy to watch a video on their YouTube service?
That's a good question.
Because isn't that basically what did they call that? Like a shrink wrap EULA.
I think
like you basically had to open a package to read the EULA, which then voided your ability to return it or to opt out of the EULA.
I think when you go to YouTube.com, the embedding bit is weird on that. Like you're talking about, there's no like direct link to the EULA on there, but I think you can actually look. Is it terms? Yeah, if you go to YouTube.com, there are terms, and it says by using or visiting the YouTube website. So there you go. By visiting it, to which you have to go to get the terms. So you've already broken the shrink wrap, like you discussed.
You've agreed to the EULA.
Yeah. You signify your agreement to these terms.
This kind of seems to go against Google's do no evil mantra.
Yeah, you know,
I don't think they're trying to do evil. I just think that they're setting themselves up. That looks in a way that looks really bad. I mean,
it looks really.
Well, what else
douchey.
Do you want them to
That's
fucking
what it
do?
Looks like.
Make a separate website that instantly redirects everyone to go look at this EULA and then make them scroll down to the bottom of the page and hit OK.
And then go back to Google.
Everyone's just going to hit end on their keyboard and click I agree.
So most people are probably just going to hover over the down arrow in the scroll bar.
If they wanted to do something like that, if they required people to opt into their license agreement, all they would have to do is treat it like a fucking porn site. When you go, the first thing you see is the end user license agreement. You have to agree to it before you can actually go to YouTube. You can't say, oh, by coming here, you've agreed to the licensing agreement. That's fucking shitty. It's douchebaggy, and it's a fucking dick move.
But I want to fucking watch this fucking cat video, and I have to fucking scroll through this whole page before I get to fucking watch it, because I just went from a link. I didn't even go to
YouTube. That's the thing. You're
not annoying the piss out of me.
You don't have to read through the whole thing, but
I have to fucking look at it, and that's too much.
But the rest of us shouldn't be fucked over because you don't want to click a goddamn button.
Hey, Vito?
Yes.
Can you take a chill pill? Stop yelling at Ray. He's gonna cry.
Okay. You bitched about his lack of rant last week.
Oh yeah, that was. I think he ended up getting across the room and yelling at the mic though, because he was loud, but he sounded far away. But I agree with what you're saying, Vito.
Actually, I do too. I just want to play devil's advocate.
Vito does not like that. Did you learn anything from Steven?
Yeah, I figured that's what he was doing, but I went along with it because it's been far too long since I opened up.
Tag team with the assist.
Yeah, that was good. And I was kind of worried that Vito was just going to go leave. Anyway.
No.
Yeah. So, I agree that by visiting a site you've already agreed to something you've never read. However, most people who have a Google account, when you visit YouTube, are already, I mean, all you have to do is create an account, sign in, and hit OK. If you really want the information, have everyone create an account. Because who's going to turn down funny cat videos? Not enough people to make it, you know, make a loss of profit.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to put a dent in YouTube or Google's user base if they opt out of it. And that's probably why that's probably where they get the justification for. But again, it's still a fucking dick move.
Of course it is. It's just, yeah, I do agree that visiting a site to look at their terms, by doing that, you've already agreed to them, is bullcrap.
It's basically like throwing a brick through someone's window after you've taped a note that says, by accepting this brick through your window, you agree to our right to throw bricks through your window.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, let's hit our last regular news topic. As you remember, Mega Upload was shut down by the FBI and associated cronies around the globe for, you know, mild douchebaggery by more or less Kim.com or whatever the hell the guy's name was. But what was forgotten is the fact that tons of people used Mega Upload and paid for it for a legitimate backup service. And now all of these people are without their important files, their work files, their photography, their projects and code and everything that they've paid to have stored. So quite a few people are getting together and they plan to sue the FBI over these lost files and probably over loss of income due to the files being unavailable. So,
yeah, I have a feeling the FBI is going to be like, that's your fault, fuckhead.
No, it's really not especially the people who share research data, you know, collaboration, and you pay for a legal service like that. There's nothing illegal about that, assuming that you're using,
The problem is that the person that they trusted with their money was doing illegal things with it.
I don't see how that should punish the end user. Let's go ahead and say that this lawsuit is happening in Spain right now. It's the Pirate Party in the Pirates of Catalonia. So, you know, there's that.
That's already starting off bad.
Yeah, let's go ahead and change the name of the party. Because if you can't say we want our legitimate stuff back, but we're the pirates that want our legitimate stuff back.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's nothing inherently illegal about Mega Upload. Just because most people used it to break the law doesn't mean the service itself was illegal. Just like BitTorrent.
Hold on. Let's take a step back. Most of the people weren't using it illegally, but the owner, Kim, whatever the fuck his name was,
.com.
He was the one that was using it for illegal purposes. He knew that the files existed on the server. They served him with a request to remove files that they knew were copyrighted files. So the government complied with the DMCA, and they said, look, these files exist on your servers. We want you to take them down. They gave him time to take them down, and he only removed 3 of the 39 files that they identified.
And they mainly what he did was remove links.
And yes, most of the time, all he did was remove links, but the links didn't mean shit because Mega Upload made multiple links for a single file.
Yeah, it's like they just shifted it.
Right, he would just remove the link that they specified. That's it. All of the other links and the files themselves still existed.
Yeah.
Then it was also the fact that they found email and chat logs between himself and all of his cohorts. Where they were, hey, this file's over here, pull these files in. They found transaction reports for this guy uploaded all of these files, known copyrighted files that they knew they shouldn't be hosting on their servers, and they were paying him for it. So That's why they got taken down. It wasn't because they were hosting illegal files. It's because they knew they were hosting illegal files. They were doing it on purpose, and they blatantly disregarded all of the copyright laws. That's what happened.
Yeah, and it's true that the service should probably, you know, go by the wayside. Obviously, it wasn't run well. It was run retardedly. However, there's a lot of important data that there should be an opportunity to recover it, and soon.
Yes, for the people who they should have a way to recover their files that they had a right to own, like their research data and whatnot,
And work collaboration, and yes. even independent musicians that use that to store their you know edits of their songs or their tracks or
yes, and if they don't. If they don't give them, if the FBI doesn't give them that opportunity, then they're basically just shit out of luck. There's no requirement that says the FBI has to put those servers back online and allow people to access them.
Yeah.
If the only copy of your extremely important work was on Mega Upload, I'm going to give you your fucking idiot sign because you deserve one.
Yeah.
You should never only have a single copy of anything that's important.
If it's not backed up in triplicate, it's not backed up. That's the rule.
That's right.
Yep. So, and that, I think that's going to go ahead and draw to a close the most depressing internet-based discussion we've had. Shit's going downhill, so keep your eyes peeled.
Also, interesting factoid. Since Kim.com has been arrested, he has since lost his spot as the top-ranked player in Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah, I really? saw that tidbit earlier today or yesterday or something. Yeah, he was actually apparently the number one ranked player in the world, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So. He is no longer.
Really?
They don't have think? Xbox Live in jail, apparently.
They do, however, have PSN.
Yeah, that's the punishment.
It's possible he didn't know that these files are on the server because he was spending too much time playing Modern Warfare.
It's not possible because they have emails basically stating, hey, you know, let's go ahead and circumvent this way.
Oh.
It's called being facetious.
I forgot about this. They also had, they had just set up new servers to start their Mega Video service, to basically seed their Mega Video service. And what they were doing was they were making an attempt to download pretty much the entirety of YouTube to make pretty much a one-to-one copy of YouTube on Mega Video.
They had a lot of money. That is ridiculous. That's... Are we done? Vito? Ray?
Ben? Good.
Just want to make sure that nothing was left unsaid. I know Ben is probably too far away from his microphone to be heard right now.
Ben die?
I was trying to think of something funny to say, and then I thought the funniest thing might just be silent and act like I was too far away to be heard. I'm just going to cut that out anyways, so it's a moot point. Let's move
on. Cool. All right. On to WTF news. Ben, play the song.
Yes, it's playing already, right now.
Oh, but you can't hear I didn't hear it.
You have to download the episode.
I'm hearing it. I actually have it on my desktop. I just click it when we're starting so I can hear it.
See, there you go, Ray. But for everyone listening later on, it's probably over by now. So we should move on.
Yeah, okay. Brevard County, Florida, our favorite state in the union. Apparently a woman in Brevard County said on Tuesday that her breast implant saved her life after it absorbed the blow when she was stabbed with a pocket knife. Apparently the victim, who doesn't want to be named, said her ex-fiance's new girlfriend attacked her outside of his apartment and stabbed her in the boob, and the boob took the brunt of the stabbing, and the woman went relatively uninjured. So.
Wasn't that a scene in the first Scary Movie? Like someone got stabbed in the boob and pulled out the
implant? Yes, Electra was stabbed in the titty, and the killer pulled out her breast implant. Why do I know that?
Because you're a pervert.
Probably for the same reason I knew that, because we both saw the movie like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I watched the beginning of it. I've never seen any of them all the way through. I catch bits and pieces, but I do remember it was Carmen Electra because I was like, ah, it's funny because she's got fake boobs.
Those movies, I liked the first one. Of course, I was like 12 at the time. And then the second one was okay, and the rest of them were just blah.
Well, there was one with Leslie Nielsen and Charlie Sheen in it. And that was, I think that was 3.
I think 3 and 4 were both in.
Yeah, I think the second half of 3 was probably the best section out of any of them.
But, I don't know if they actually got worse or I just got smarter. Because like I said, I was 12 when I saw the first one. So,
oh, no, 12, I knew everything. Thing. So apparently, without the breast implant, it would have gone through her lung and or heart.
So, fake boobs save lives.
More than just for show. Practical applications.
Yeah. In case any of our listeners care. Or if you're trying to, you know, sell your girlfriend on, you know, an upgrade.
Because someone might stab you.
It worked for me.
So, I suppose this is also in Florida, since it's from the Orlando Sentinel. A man was arrested on Monday for trying to take an upskirt video of a woman who was renting a movie at Walmart. She was standing in front of the
Red... Hold on. You can rent movies at Walmart?
Redbox, if you just let me keep going.
Yeah. All right.
How about you just shut up and let me read the story? Never. And you can make your dumb comments.
No.
Okay. The woman was standing in front of a Redbox movie dispenser when she heard another customer say, "Hey, what are you doing?" She looked around and saw Lorenzo Ramirez, 24, who, quote-unquote, acted coy, according to the police report, like nothing had happened and was holding a black smartphone. He scurried away and got into his car. Then, using security footage and the car's license plate, law enforcement tracked him down and arrested him on charges of video voyeurism. So...
The best part of the story is the last paragraph. But when he was at the jail, he said that he was not planning to take a video, nor he had done it in the past. He just stated he... never mind. That wasn't what I thought it was.
He just did something stupid.
Well, yeah.
Wait, that's not
He was testing
awesome.
Out his iPhone.
Yeah.
Wanted to see how it would work.
Yeah, he said he had recently acquired an iPhone and was just checking it out, kneeling under a woman with skirt on.
He didn't plan on taking a video. He just wanted to see if it would work.
Yeah, really.
This just happened to be looking up her skirt, and the phone was on.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir. Why are you laying on your back between my wife's ankles? That doesn't seem appropriate. I don't.
How does this phone work? Do you know how to? Do you know how to get to the internet on this thing? How do you upload videos? You guys know how to upload videos to Facebook?
Now, see, something like that in Japan probably wouldn't have raised as many eyebrows, but in Florida or anywhere in America, I mean, come on, guy. Why would you do that? Why would you be so blatant about it? I mean, if you're trying to get shots up a skirt, there are much
Let's not give advice on that.
I'm not giving advice because I don't have...
There's actual porn of that where people sign up to have upshirt videos taken of them.
There's also that. But what I'm saying is there are sneakier ways to do it than holding your fucking iPhone under a woman's crotchal region.
And then claiming that you just were checking out your phone.
Yeah. At the very least, he's guilty of being dumb.
It's still not a crime, even in Florida.
Well, it better not, or else that's, you know, half the state.
Yeah.
Hi, Florida. Hello, any listeners.
Yeah. Well, Merrimack already left the live chat, so.
All right. Well, to be fair, I only said half, so that leaves 50% that are fine.
Oh, Miss Underboob is visiting Florida this week, so she's down there surrounded by dumb.
Yeah. See. Which 50% is she in? We'll figure it out later.
Yeah, tell her to watch herself for guys with iPhones.
Yeah. Stay away from red boxes at Walmart.
Yeah. Maybe it might just be best to stay away from Walmart in general.
This is good life advice.
Because, I mean, I see some swamp creatures around here in a fairly affluent Southern California neighborhood. I can only imagine in Florida.
Yeah. I love going to Walmart. It's great for people watching.
Yeah. Well,
aren't you in like Walmart's home state, like hometown or whatever?
Yep. Actually, I'm 20 minutes from home.
That doesn't make them classier, man.
No, I'm assuming that makes it worse somehow.
It kind of does. It depends on what Walmart you go to.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move on since we're running up the minutes here. A pub owner decided to shut down one of his chain restaurant or chain pubs because the managers were putting too much beer in the pints.
Can you only fit too pint much into beer. A pint?
Let me
well,
finish.
Most glasses hold a little
shut
bit.
Shut up, Ben. The owner, Humphrey Smith, showed up at this pub. You know, he owns the chain. He shows up at this pub at 8:30 p.m. on New Year's Eve and told the managers that he was shutting them down because they didn't put enough head on the beer. They poured the beers, so there was more beer than, I guess, the chain
more
decided.
More beer and less head.
They poured the beer better than the management wanted them to, and that they're saying that that cost them £10,733 in lost stock because they would do this.
Yeah, whatever.
It seems to me like you'd want to be the bar that, like, we pour our beer the best. Come drink here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we give you a little bit extra. See, you know, I would actually go to that bar because, like, hey, they give me a little bit extra. I'm going to go there more often. So I don't know if he's actually considering the extra business he was getting by giving away a little bit, getting more in.
And it really is a little, like, it's,
yeah, it's
less than an ounce.
One drink. You get like one more swallow out of the beer.
Yeah. But it makes the customer feel better, I'm sure.
Yes. Over time, you would be losing money, obviously. But we're talking about like for every 10 or 11 beers, you're giving away one. Now,
but if it's coming out of a keg?
Yeah. I know that a lot of bars will have a tab that they open for the bar itself. What they'll do is they'll, like, for their customers, their regular customers, are like, hey, well, this one's on me or whatever. You know, they're giving away beer anyway. So for something like this, it shouldn't be a big deal. It really shouldn't, because that's, like Ben said, this is we give you more beer, and that's bringing in more people. And as long as you have a steady stream of customers, is it really that big of a problem?
Here's a couple quotes from the article. This guy apparently has been going to the pub for 31 years and says, we get the perfect pint here from these two folks. And just below that, the paragraph says that critics say the practice of pouring too much head in the beer has cost drinkers as much as £500 million a year in underfilled pints. I don't know if that's just over in...
I feel like this guy doesn't know how to run a business, because it seems to me if you can do something to get more people in...
That, and he shut them down on New Year's Eve at 8:30 p.m. on New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow.
This guy is a moron.
If you really want to lose $10,000, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not $10,000, but that's probably one of the most profitable nights.
Well, depending on the size of the pub, I mean...
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of European countries, they take their pints seriously. Like, I think in the UK, there's like a federal mandate that a pint has to have exactly such and such amount of liquid. Like, it has to be an exact pint. Like, here in the States, a lot of places will try to, like, screw you over, where their pint is a little bit less. None of that over there. But the thing here is they're giving you more. I don't know why that should be a problem.
Well, okay, I guess... It says here that the dispute centers on whether or not customers are entitled to ask for them for more than 95% of the pint glass being beer. So I'm assuming that there's some sort of regulation that says, you know, you can't have half head in a beer. Like, you know, it has to be at least 95% liquid beer, not foam.
Yeah, no, I mean, the point of that law is so you're not getting ripped off. But I mean, I've never drank a beer where I'm like, you know what, I wish there was more foam at the top. Fuck no. Like, if I paid for a pint and somebody gave me, you know, a pint and a quarter, I would be happy. If I paid for a pint and someone gave me 3/4 of a pint, I would be unhappy.
Guess which place I'd be going back to.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we take our beer very seriously at the Noisecast.
And if you're it's really that absurd, just tack on an extra 10 cents to your beer price.
Oh no, just don't raise prices.
Well, if he's that concerned about losing money and shutting his bar down on New Year's Eve.
So before we get too pissed off at beer, which touchy topic around here, let's move on to the final and probably most.
It's not really a story. It's just what the fuck.
Yeah, it's going in WTF news because it's news to me and it made me say what the hell. Dogcondoms.com.
.com.
Yeah, that's dog exist.
They
condoms.
They existed apparently. They may not exist anymore.
Yeah, canine birth control.
It, but it was kind of inconclusive.
Canine birth control for a more humane world. Apparently, that the people are worried about dog overpopulation, but they don't want you to neuter or spay your pet. They just
want Fido to get his rocks off.
Yeah. So dog condom. I don't see any how this works pictures. Not that I'm really going to look for one.
Well, there was an explanation post on one of those websites.
Oh, wait.
How to put the dog condom on. I just want to know who's going to be the poor sap that A, puts it on, and B, makes sure it's still there.
From the FAQ, they have sizes and scents that are available. They come in lubricated and meat-scented varieties. Hold on. Can I train my dog to put it on himself? No, the dog will require human intervention each time he wishes to put on or take off a condom. So we expect dogs to do this, but we can't get teenagers to do it. What
I'm
about
sure
female condoms?
But here's the thing. I did a Who Is lookup. This height has been around apparently since the domain's been registered since 2006.
That doesn't mean it can't be a dope.
And apparently there was a recall.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, there's a recall in 2006.
2008.
It says 2006, August 3rd, that there's a voluntary recall of dog condoms, canine prophylactics, due to an unacceptable failure rate reported during preliminary release and test markets.
How do you find out?
The use of these recalled condoms may result in unwanted canine pregnancies. Additionally, meat-scented dog condoms may present a choking hazard, especially for smaller dogs.
After they try to chew their own wiener off.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man.
And I mean, someone apparently was semi-serious about it because the domain name is registered, dogcondoms.com, until 2013.
I think this has got to be a joke.
Has to be.
Man.
But there's also a .co.uk.
That's more of a description about dog condoms. It has testimonials.
Yeah. Apparently they don't use animal testing. Okay, it's a spoof. I'm sorry.
How can you not use animal testing if they're for animals?
Apparently... Oh, the Vibra teddy bear? Are you kidding me? What is this?
It's too much fun.
Anyway, visit these sites. They're in the topic list. Post them in the chat right now for
those
of you.
They're great fun.
Yeah, I mean, probably fake, but it's worth a laugh.
Oh, yeah. Well done. No animal testing, though. That's too much of a giveaway. There is a guide, however, on how to apply them. One of the warnings is don't put them on the dog balls. Do not apply by
mouth.
As
everyone should have learned from Steve Carell in The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Do not apply by mouth.
Oh, God.
you can read the rest for yourself.
So, and also, this tutorial might be illegal in your state, just so you might want to double-check that first.
Yeah. There's no pictures, so I don't know.
Okay, then.
At least
it's still a fun read. No, I haven't seen any pictures, but yeah. I really don't want to.
So that wraps us up on a slightly better note, although still wildly confused about the whole thing. Thank you for joining us, especially those of you in the live chat. Remember that you can show up every Sunday around
7 Central and hear us blather at each other and make incorrect statements live.
Which, and if you don't know time zones, that's 5 Pacific and 8 Eastern.
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just trying to be helpful.
I figured that, you know, there's a way to Google what 5 Central is. Also, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Google Plus, which we will use to announce our live sessions. That
still
like I said,
that MySpace page.
You know,
it's too much work.
I'm just gonna make a MySpace page and just put a link to it on the site, just cause. And it's gonna link straight to dick butts.
You know, I bet if you try to go sign up for a new MySpace profile now, they just say, "Are you serious? Really?"
Yeah.
You know, Facebook exists, right?
With us tonight, we had Ben.
Goodbye.
We had Ray.
Yep.
And angry old man Vito.
I'm not that old.
No, but you sound like it sometimes.
I am pretty angry. I'm seeing a guy about that though, so maybe that'll be fixed soon.
So you're having gay sex to take out your issues?
No, I went to therapy for that.
Oh, very well.
Yeah, because don't you know, anger leads to fear. Well, something eventually leads to the dark side.
I'm so glad you're going to edit yourself out of this podcast, Ben. Something dark side. There you go. Anyway, thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week or whenever Ben actually gets this out on the feeds.
Hey,
this
last
is the
week
noise
it was
this
fucking
is the
up
noise
same
cast.
Day.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Ben. You're worse than Ron's interrupting cow.
Brush up your Sunday salon, then come and meet his spectacular coterie. Prince Ali, mighty is he, Ali Ababwa. Strong as 10 regular men, definitely. He faced the galloping hordes, 100 bad guys with swords. Who sent those goons to their lords? Why, Prince Ali, he's got 75 golden cannons. Don't they look lovely, June? Fabulous, Harry. I love the feathers. When it comes to exotic type mammals, has he got a zoo? I'm telling you, it's a world-class menagerie. Prince Ali, handsome as he, Ali Ababa. That physique, how can I speak? Wake at the knee. Well, get on out in that square. Adjust your veil and prepare to gawk and grovel and stare at Prince Ali. He's got nine. Princess was a sight lovely to see, and that to people is why he got dialed up and dropped by. With 60 elephants, mamas galore, with his bears and lions, a grandstand and more, with his 40 bakers, his